Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. We discuss the circumstances surrounding their disappearance. Before we begin our story, please hit the like button if you like the video, subscribe to my channel if you want to see more from me, and you can always join my Patreon. We have a big goal there, and I will talk about that at the end of the video. I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin. I'm going to start right off the bat by saying, I don't like this case. I don't like the way this case was handled, and I don't like the fact that nothing is being done about it many years later. This is wife and mother Amy Scher. She was also known as Amy Desmond. Amy was married to a man named Paul Pomerantz, and she was working in the finance department at a medical clinic. She met a man named Robert Desmond, who had been hired as a temp there at the clinic. Not long after meeting Robert, Amy filed for divorce and left Paul. I scoured the internet for a photo of Robert Desmond and could only find one photo, this photo, and I got this from a thread where people were speaking about the Vanished podcast. I'm not 100% sure this is the correct Robert Desmond, but on that thread, no one said it was not Robert Desmond, so I'm assuming this is him. I could be wrong. I really kind of shoot myself in the foot when I choose these stories that don't have a lot of information online, but I've known about this case for a long time and it has just always stunk to me. It was not handled properly. It's never been investigated properly. And even though there's not a lot of information, I decided to bring it to you all because I think it's important to keep this case in the true crime community. We need to keep it alive. We need to keep talking about it because it's a bad one. On October 14th, 2002, Amy left her job at the Leahy Clinic in Burlington, Massachusetts. She told her supervisor that she was feeling sick and she needed to go home. The next morning, her boss received an email saying she was still sick and wouldn't be coming in. And the same thing happened the day after that. But the thing was, her coworkers weren't buying that Amy was sick. Not because she wasn't reliable or wasn't a good employee, but because they believed Amy Scher was being abused. There were times when Amy came into work with bruises on her body that she tried to cover with makeup. There were times when she had even come into work with missing clumps of hair. Ooh, just makes me so mad. And I'm not trying to be judgmental here. This was, you know, the early 2000s, 20 some odd years ago. But I hope we've learned. If you see something, say something. If you think someone's being abused, even make an anonymous call. Do whatever you think will help that person, because we see so many of these cases where people know the woman is being abused. Sometimes the man, usually the woman, and they don't say anything or do anything, and that person ends up dead. Wouldn't you rather be accused of being nosy or butting in than you would live the rest of your life with someone's death on your conscience? I would. Anyway, not trying to judge the people in Amy's circle, but I'm hoping 20 years later that we know now to please make a report, contact somebody when you know someone's being hurt. On October 17th, 2002, Amy's husband, Robert Desmond, called Amy's boss and told him that Amy would not be into work for a third day. The day after that, Robert called Amy's work asking for her email address. He told an employee that Amy wanted to send her boss an email, but she was, quote, unable to do it herself. The employee found this strange, as Amy would know her own email address, but they gave it to Robert, and a few minutes later, the place of employment got an email from Amy. It was a resignation letter. In the email, Amy said she was quitting her job. Her fellow employees never saw her again. Amy never even went in to claim her last paycheck. Now, Amy's boss found all of this very concerning. Amy had been a reliable, responsible employee, and so her boss contacted the police, who then contacted Robert Desmond. Robert told the police that his wife had left him. He said they had decided to go their separate ways, and that on October 18th, 4 days after Amy was last seen at work, Robert had taken Amy to the all-wife train station in Cambridge. Robert said he dropped Amy off at noon, and he hadn't seen her since. The police were very skeptical of this story, but they had nothing to go on. They didn't have any evidence that Robert's story was a lie, and they had no evidence that Amy had been harmed, let alone killed. There was really not much they could do. People can still disappear if they choose to. Still, with her coworkers believing she was being abused, I feel the police should have put more pressure on Robert Desmond. Now you see why I said this case stinks. How many cases do we know where someone disappears? The husband says, she left me. And the police are like, nobody, we ain't buying that. But for some reason here, they did. This is why I don't like this case. They did not pressure Robert Desmond enough, in my opinion. Amy had become estranged from her family. When? In the early 1990s, when she began dating Robert. Amy's family didn't like Robert. As Amy and Robert's relationship continued, his behavior got worse. Amy's family claimed that Robert would make threatening phone calls to all of Amy's relatives and that they couldn't talk any sense into Amy. In 1994, the family actually got a restraining order against Robert, forbidding him to contact them. When Amy disappeared, she was living with Robert and their young son, Michael. They were living in Billerica, Massachusetts at the time. When the police told Amy's family members that she had a child, they were shocked. They didn't even know Amy had been pregnant, let alone given birth. Now, I find this next part incredible. Amy Scher was not reported missing for 18 months. That alone raises all kinds of red flags. Robert didn't report her missing, and it was almost a year before her family even found out she was gone. It stinks. It stinks. Here's this guy, he's isolated this woman from her family, and then the police find out she's missing. They take his word that she left him, and they don't contact anyone else and let them know that she's vanished. Estranged or not, I'm sorry, that is crappy police work. That is not due diligence. You can tell I'm getting mad, but this makes me really mad. Who do the murdered and the missing have to rely on if they can't rely on the police? Most of the police, I really believe this, are trying to do a good job. But then we find these cases where it is just dropping the ball doesn't even begin to cover it. And this case is one of those, in my opinion. Amy's estranged family immediately hired a private investigator who quickly learned that Robert and Amy's son were living together with Amy nowhere in sight. The private investigator then questioned Robert and he told the same story. Amy had voluntarily left the family and he assumed she was fine and living elsewhere. By this time, the police were convinced that Amy did not leave on her own and that she was, in fact, the victim of foul play. I'm not sure why it took so long, but they started to investigate Amy's disappearance as a potential homicide. Police interviewed Amy's family, her friends, her coworkers, and they all said the same thing. Robert was an angry man with a violent temper who severely abused Amy emotionally and even physically. They told police that Amy was required to constantly contact Robert to tell him where she was. He had to know her location at all times. Cops also found out that before Robert, Amy had been very close with her family, and they were devastated when she cut off contact with them. Robert Desmond has never been charged with any type of crime. He continues to maintain that Amy left him and moved on with her life somewhere else. Amy's driver's license expired just after her disappearance. She never renewed it. She had a 1994 Pontiac at the time she disappeared, and it's never been re-registered. This is about all there is, my friends. Like I say, I chose this case because it makes me angry. I knew this was going to be a shorter episode. There's just not a lot of information on this story. I do believe that Robert Desmond is involved in his wife's disappearance. That is my opinion. I'm very angry that not much is being done about this. I'm sure the police that worked this in the beginning worked very hard on this case. I don't doubt that. But unless the case gets solved, it ain't hard enough. This one just smells all kinds of wrong to me, and I don't want Amy to get forgotten. If you know anything at all that might help, please contact the Billerica, Massachusetts Police Department at 978-671-0900. You can remain anonymous. Someone out there knows something, or someone out there has a feeling they might have information that could help. And it just takes the courage to make that phone call. Please share whatever information you feel you might have. Amy has a son that deserves to know what happened to his mom, and justice always needs to be served. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and if you want to join Patreon, here's the deal. By joining Patreon for a few dollars a month, you help keep the channel alive. But in the end, our goal is to raise money to donate to police departments that have cold case DNA in storage that cannot be tested because there's no money. There are thousands of sexual assault kits in storage that have never been tested. We can test those kits for between $500 and $700, and we want to start raising money for that cause. One, it may help close the case the DNA is associated with, and two, it gets that perpetrator's DNA in the system so if they've committed other crimes, police can get a hit. Those of you that are already on Patreon are so generous, and you're really the only reason the channel is still alive. But after the first of the year, I really want to start raising money for this cause. It's been a dream of mine for years. And I know a lot of you are excited about it too. I really want to get it going. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with me, my friends. Stay safe and be kind to each other. And I will see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.